you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me tonight to the book of St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. If we've ever needed anything, we need a fresh fire. We need a fresh anointing. Amen. Somebody said, well, preach, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost 50 years. Well, if you got what you got 50 years ago, you need a nowadays fire. You had a bottle of oil, put oil in it 50 years ago, took the top off right now, you wouldn't stay in the room with it. And we got too many people living off of yesterday's experience. We need some fresh stuff. Amen. Somebody asked me one time, I was evangelizing, and every chance I got, I'd go to Brownsville to the revival. I don't know if y'all heard about that or not, but it went on for about 4, 5, 6 years. Had over a 250,000 people turned in cards, said they got saved. We used to leave, go down there and get there at 12, and we'd park the vans backwards and put a tent between them and stay there till 6 o'clock or 5:30. They'd tell us to get everything ready. We'd put everything in the vans and get in line. And we'd get there that early, sit there that long, and we'd barely make it into the balcony. But boy, they'd have church. I mean, they'd throw down. One guy asked me, said, why don't you go down there? I said, I like to get re-energized. And I said, they're energized down there. I just want to get where it's happening. I was in revival. I got the pastor to ride down with me on Tuesday to the prayer meeting. He said, well, what are they going to do? I said, they're going to pray. He said, well, that ought to be boring. I said, man, that's where I'm taking you. I want to have a revival. We got down there, and he didn't understand how they done it. They had stations you went to pray. You'd go to this station and you'd pray. You go to this station, you'd pray. They walked you all the way around the sanctuary. You didn't just go somewhere and pray. You moved from station to station. And when you'd get there with the group you were with, they would tell you what that station wanted you to pray about while you was there. And then you went to the last station where you could pray about your stuff. We stayed there about an hour and a half and went back to church and had church that night. But God was pouring out his spirit in that revival. Hello? Preacher in the Mississippi area went over and got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he was non-Pentecostal till he went to the revival. And he went home and he'd actually fell out in the spirit, but he kept saying people knocked him down. And he went home on Sunday morning. He was right outside of Hattiesburg. And he got up in front of his church. He said, I want to tell you, I went to that revival. Ain't nothing to it. And they said he just passed out right in front of his church. Because when he did this, everybody in front of him fell out in the spirit. When he come to himself, he said, something must have happened while I was over there. Glory. Amen. I preached a revival in the Catholic Church in Dauphin Island. Now, you heard me right. I couldn't go to the sanctuary because the guy said they'd shoot me and him both, but we went to their fellowship hall and we had church, 35, 40 people a night, and every night we'd have to peel the priest up and take him back to the house. And we got him in there that last night. He said, let's go another night. I said, well, I gotta be somewhere else. He said, when can you come back? I said, I'm not sure. I've got a pretty full schedule. He said, you get a week or two, you a day or two, call me. He said, you better hurry because they're trying to get me off this island, and once I leave on this island, you're toast. He'd been to Brownsville, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and the two other churches didn't know what to think about him. They didn't want Pentecost on the island, and all of a sudden they had it, and it was one of the bigger churches, and it was upset because they couldn't make him leave, and he finally got moved, and they got it off the island as best they could. And then we snuck a church into one of their houses and started having church in a house on that island, and they found out about it and like had a fit. And do you know one of them guys actually bought the house so he could put us out of it? Amen. Didn't hurt those people that got so anointed with the Holy Spirit, they started driving off the island to one of our churches to church. Amen. You say, preacher, why are you saying that? Because I'm telling you, that's not been that long ago. So don't give me this stuff about God don't move like he used to. And God ain't as real as he used to be. My God never changes. The Bible said in him there is no invariableness, neither is there shadow of turning, meaning the same God that was there on Pentecost is the same God that's there right now. And my Jesus made a promise, I go pray the Father, he'll send another comforter that he may abide with you forever. So until I leave this world, long as I'm where I need to be with God, I've got the abiding presence of the Spirit of God in my life. Could you say amen? Praise God. Amen. Turn with me to Luke chapter 3. Verse 15. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were a Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchets of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, for he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge the floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch, Lord, with the power of your divine grace. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look around now and say, hey, God wants to touch you tonight. Amen. I want to pull the words there and just put it this way. He will baptize you with fire. A minister preaching in the late 1800s, talking to his church, put a question to that church. Where is the cloven tongues of fire that came down on Pentecost? Where is that flame of the Spirit of God that burned in the hearts and the lives of those who made up the early church? Where is that anointing that forced those people out of the upper room into a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? He said, I put to you that we now have become so religious that we have created little icy igloos, a religious atmosphere, and the power of God falling around us while we literally freeze in the midst of the fire. But he said, if we've ever needed anything, we need a fresh fire to melt away all the outer chest and to give us the glory of God to move in our life. If we've ever needed anything, we need a fire to fall again in the house of God to move on us. Church, if we've ever needed anything, we need that to happen in Alabaster, Alabama. We need an anointing of the Holy Ghost to come down. We need the fulfillment of the prophecy of John. He will baptize you with fire. Hallelujah. Oh, in case y'all wondering, that was Alexander McLaren, a Baptist preacher. Hello? I don't know how fervent he was, but when you read the page, it'll make you shake in your seat. Glory. Hello? Come on, church. That's good preaching. Amen. Even he was Baptist. Amen. You say, what are you getting at? We need some fresh fire. We need the anointing of God to touch us. Somebody said, preacher, why? Well, first of all, we need to understand the Spirit of God will lead us. It will guide us. It will show us where to go and what to do if we allow him to get in our life and help us. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. First of all, fire illuminates. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? You ever notice when you get a good fire going, you can see things around you couldn't see before the fire was going? Because fire lights things up. Listen to what Paul said about his conversion in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which ye were illuminated. Ye endured the great fight of affliction. What did he say? He said, remember when you first got lit up? Glory. Hello? Boy, wouldn't it be great if we get some folks in church tonight and get lit. Amen. I know somebody said, well, that is a bad term. All people just started using it. Hey, man, I wish we'd get some messed up on the spirit. Folks would think we were drunk. Hello? I was preaching in Brooklyn, New York. Brother Andre Jacques. Man, the power of God was moving. And this dude had come in, got filled with the spirit, and he walked out on the front steps, was standing leaning against the wall, and the cop come up, and he said, hey, y'all know this guy? Dr. Jacques looked at him and said, well, yeah. He said, well, he says he's from your church. He said, he is. He said, he got like that in your church? He said, yeah. He said, how'd that happen? Brother Jacques said, come on, I'll show you. He carries him down. You got to understand, this is a Haitian church. They crazy. Well, we get excited, they blow the roof off. I mean, they don't get to have church but once a week because it's just so hard to get together. And they get there on Sunday morning and they go home for a little while that afternoon. They don't go nowhere. They go out somewhere and get something to eat, come back to the church and stay and pray until church starts back. Then they have church that afternoon and go home when it gets over with. And usually when they leave talking about, we can't wait till next week. And they're going to all parts of the city of New York to live the rest of their lives. Some of them to upstate New York. They just come there to be in church. And you know, I get so sick. You talk about, I was mentioned this morning, everybody said, oh, you got to have a new building. Brother Andre Jacques actually has church in an old converted mortuary. The embalming rooms are Sunday school rooms. The chapel's his sanctuary. He can't seat but about 500 people in there on a good day, packed up like they do, because they use folding chairs and they'll sit all over the place. Around up here, you'll be preaching, got to step over people. Amen. When he gets full, he just takes one of his preachers and starts a church. Started 38 churches out of his church alone. And there are now 38 or 40 Haitian Pentecostal churches that are Church of God in the greater New York City area that were started out of Henri Jacques' church. And I asked him, what I said, how you do that? I said, we can't afford to move, so we just start another church and we help them get started, and then it's their business how big they get. Glory. While I was there the last time several years ago, he was getting ready to start another church, and they were having church three times a week in that other church trying to help them get it started. It was a two-room apartment. I went over there one morning and preached for them. There was 100 some people packed in them two rooms. And man, we had church. Come on, church. Amen. But I never forget, he walked that cop down front. Them people fell on him like a bunch of vultures on a dead man. And man, they went to praying for him. It wasn't long that cop come out of there. He said, my God, I'm going to have to come back this place. Glory. Amen. I was sitting there laughing. I thought to myself, boy, if we could have stuff like that happen in Alabama. My Lord, church, we need to get to that place where we understand there is a fire of God that can light us up, that can give us an anointing, that will open up our eyes so we see what we didn't see before. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, you're crazy. Galatians chapter 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hello? You say, what are you getting at? I'm talking about getting illuminated. You can get so anointed of God that if you live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, it'll keep you from doing things you ain't supposed to do. Hello? Say, well, preacher, you just crazy. I'm in the flesh. I do what? You get in the Spirit, you won't do what's in the flesh. Well, now, I'm bound by the flesh. I had a guy told me one day, he said, hey, preacher, I'm in the flesh. I'm not going to argue with that. I'm in the flesh. I used to go to church, and they'd say, well, I'm getting the flesh. I said, I don't have to do that. I already am. Y'all mean what? Don't get in the flesh. I'm in the flesh. I'm trying to get in the Spirit. Hello? Paul talks about living in the flesh. You know how he ascended that thing up? 8th chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free of the laws of sin and death. What did he say? He said, hey, I've been set free because I got illuminated. I got under the anointing of the Spirit, and that Spirit will light my pathway, and it'll show me the right way to go. It'll lead me. It'll guide me. It'll direct me. It'll carry me where I need to go so that I'm not in bondage. You know, so I told him, said, I'll preach that living right's bondage. It ain't done it. You read the Bible, everywhere it talks about people living right, it gives the word liberty and freedom. And I can tell you right now, Paul knew what he was talking about when he said, I have not received the spirit of bondage, but the spirit of adoption, whereby I cry, my Father, which art in heaven. Why? Because I've been illuminated by the fire of the Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah. Glory. Boom. That's some good stuff. Amen. You get illuminated, weird stuff will happen. I was preaching for Brother Dennis. My wife met Brother Dennis one time at the General Assembly. Brother Dennis pastors one of those house churches. He got a three-bedroom apartment. He tore the walls out and made one big sanctuary. He runs about 300-400 on the third floor. You get up there, of course, across on the other side of the hall is where the children's church is. But you come in and all the women are sitting over here and all the men are sitting over there and the teenagers are in the back, and there's an old lady back there with a yardstick. And if you preach it and one of them teenagers does something, she says, you'll hear one, oh! And she'll say, for some reason, they don't act up during church. They ain't fooling with cell phones and drawing on their arms and doing stuff, because she'll whack them. And if y'all ain't figured it out yet, there's so many people in there, you can't hear yourself think. You can't move. And so they were testifying. Now, y'all got to understand something. They ain't like us. They got to church at 8 o'clock. They had Sunday school at 10. That's a two-hour Sunday school class. They got something in while they was there. Then they went to church and sang for an hour and a half. And at 11:30, they started testifying. I'm supposed to preach. I'm normally not in no hurry, but I got a bus load of preachers going to leave me if I don't get back to them by 2 o'clock. And all I can think is I'm fixing out to fly home. Hello? And this little lady come down the aisle, slow and deliberate. Now, they're doing everything in French Creole, so I ain't got a clue what they're talking about. I'm grabbing my interpreter, but he's so busy getting into the service, he can't keep me up. Once he finally said, oh, I can tell you what this. He said, you got to understand, said, they gave her up to die. Said the only place they could do surgery on her was Los Angeles, California. And she had to have $20,000 raised to go to Los Angeles to have the surgery, or her insurance wouldn't pay and the company wouldn't do the surgery. And he said, we raised $20,000 for her. And we gave her the check 3 weeks ago. And she brought the check down the morning we gave it to her, and she tied and signed the back of it, laid it on the communion table, looked up to pastor. She said, pastor, I'm a simple old lady. I've raised 15 kids without a daddy. I've got every one of them in church, and they're all filled with the Holy Ghost. And said, that $20,000 will save one old lady, but it'll build two churches in Haiti where some of our loved ones can find Jesus Christ. And I want you to send it to Haiti and build a couple of churches. And if I'm going to die, I'm going to die. If I'm going to live, I'm going to live. He said, man, she fell out on the floor. Said, we grabbed her, took off to the hospital. Thought she was dying. He said, we got to the hospital. They took her in. The doctors worked on her. And by this time, she's got to the end of her testimony, and they've lost it. They're in their chairs because they can't run nowhere else. They're just dancing. Now, you got to understand something. I'm the only white guy in the bunch. But there's a guy in the back corner that ain't Haitian. You can look at him and tell he's got a different type skin. His hair's slicked down. I'm looking back and I'm trying to figure out how tall is this joker, because he's taller than everybody in the building. And suddenly I realize he is on the back of a folding chair dancing. Now, we got some folding chairs in the back in the fellowship hall. Y'all want to show us how he did it? I'll watch. But he's back there and he just, and I'm like, I looked over the guy and said, who's that? He said, that was her doctor. I said, where's he from? He said, India. He said he showed up the next week. He'd been crazy like that ever since. And I'm thinking, man, when they think he's crazy, glory. I'll never forget, after church, I walked by him. He said, I've been baptized in fire, brother. Hallelujah. And I said, praise be unto God. I found somebody got something. Amen. I want to tell you something, church. That's what we need. We need a fire of God that will illuminate us where we understand it is not about might and it is not about power, but it's by the Spirit of God that we break bondage and we set the captive free, that we are loosed in his glory. Woo. Listen, I'm skipping to the third one first. Hope I ain't messed you up. Fire purifies. Romans chapter 12. So I said, what are you talking about, preacher? You get right with God, you ain't got to do a lot of cleaning up. God will help you clean up. Absolutely. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present yourself a living sacrifice. This being your reasonable service. But be not conformed, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. What are you talking about? You get rid of the stinking thinking and start thinking like you ought to be thinking. Hello? What are you talking about, preacher? You get to the place where you start asking yourself, what would Jesus do? And you ain't even got to have the bracelet on. Glory. Hello? Come on, church, smile at me. And I said, what are you talking about? He went through everything we went through. There is no temptation you're going to see that he didn't see in this world. He hid it all, but he did it without sin. But he said, now I have not a high priest who is not touched by the feelings of the infirmities of my life. He knows where I'm at. And if I let him, he'll help me through everything that's going to come against me so that I don't have to worry. I can walk in a life that is purified and sanctified and holy unto God. Could you say amen to that, church? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, it's time some of us realize if you're going to move in the power of the Spirit and have the fire of God in your life, then you're going to understand you're going to be purified by his glory. You're going to walk in his presence and his power, and you're going to follow that glory. Come on, church. Say, well, preacher, you don't understand. No, you don't. You got to get your mind off junk, get it on God. Amen. See, if all you think about is junk, you ain't never going to have nothing but junk. You are what you ingest. Ah, come on, church, that's good preaching. You eat spam all the time, you're going to look like spam. Hello? Listen, church, if we ingest God and we let the fire of God move in us, it will purify us. One man made a statement. His name was J.H. Jowett. He made the statement. He says, a man can no more cleanse himself of sin simply by washing his body with water than a man can get rid of a sore by washing it with water. But it takes the penetrating power of the divine detergent of God to come into a man's life and to separate him from the things of this world and to take him in the direction God wants him to go. Y'all sung it a while ago and didn't even realize what you were singing. Oh, the thirsting of the things of this world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day. All my burdens rolled away when the comforter began to abide with me. My Lord, church, if you'll let him in, he'll purify you. He'll sanctify you. He'll give your thought process that turns toward God. Glory, glory, glory. One man said sin circulates in the body like the blood does. Can I tell you, sin pervades your will. Blood don't do that. But sin goes beyond your will. There's some things you can't do, quit doing because you decide you ain't going to do them no more. That's proven by our New Year's resolutions. If I lost all the weight I meant to lose in my lifetime, I wouldn't be here. Come on, church. Some of y'all laughing, but y'all just like me. You'll lose 10 pounds, put 20 back on. It's a slow process, but we get bigger every year. Hello? You know, we used to deal with how a person looked to tell if it's wholeness. You know, if a woman had a bun on her hair, she is wholeness. I remember walking through the mall one day, I seen this lady standing there, she had that bun stacked up, and I'm walking by, and it looked like I saw her face in that glass. She was standing looking in a store. It looked like somebody I knew. I walked up and said, sister, how you doing? She turned, she said, you got a light. She ain't Church of God. Glory. Hello? My mistake. Hello? Oh, I lost some of y'all. No, I shouldn't have. Glory. Amen. Listen, your blood circulates through your body. Do you know in 1628, William Harvey discovered how the blood flowed through the body? Yeah, he did it. He saw a guy get his arm cut, and he stood there and watched him bleed to death. And while he was bleeding, he watched the blood go, pew, 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 and he matched it to the beat of the heart. And he realized that the heart pumped blood through the body. And so he goes home, and he writes down in his medical records that the heart pumped, the blood flowed from the pumping of the heart. It flows through about 20 miles of blood vessels and veins in your body. It circulates through the body, through the arteries, comes back through the veins. Do you know that when you're getting blood transfusions, they will never take blood from the lower side of the heart? Amen. From the upper side of the heart, because that's called defiled arterial blood, meaning it's got all dead cells in it, because as it flows through the body, it picks up dead blood cells and puts in new cells, and that's why your body is renewed while the blood's flowing. If you cut your finger off by putting a string on it, it'll get cold, it'll start turning blue, and if you don't get that string off, it'll die, because it needs that continual renewing of the flowing of the blood, bringing oxygen to the system. If you don't have enough oxygen in your blood, your body will begin to break down from the inside out. That's why it's so important that you learn how to breathe right and do those things. But you see, when you get to that point, the blood goes through, it picks up all those cells, it comes back to the heart, it passes through the ventricles, the auricles of the heart, and as it does so, air from the lungs shoots through, and a purification process takes place, and all those dead cells are brought back to life. Can I tell you, when you get in the anointing of the Spirit of God and you begin to let him touch you on a regular basis, it'll renew in you life, it'll renew in you joy, it'll renew in you peace like you've never had before. It'll purify you from the dredge of this world. Could you say amen? I gotta hurry. Fire energizes. Somebody said, well, preacher, what are you talking about? You ever backed up to a fire and it get good, won't you? Whoa. Hello? One guy said he caught on fire one time. He said, I can tell you, when you catch on fire, you can run the fastest 50-yard dash you ever seen in your life. Glory. Say, preacher, you're crazy. No. You see, fire is energy. We run steam engines off of them for years because we needed the fire for energy. Boilers for heat that create energy. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of your Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, there's that lightened stuff, glory, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world that is to come. You say, preacher, why'd you read that? There are five words in the Greek language that are translated power, and every one of them end in the last part of those three verses that I read you at the end. They're talking about the power of office, the power of authority, the power to do this, the power to do that. One of the Greek words is the word energeia. We get a word energy from it. It is power to move. Can I tell you, when you get that anointing, as one black preacher said, it is the unction to function. It'll get in you and it'll drive you into the world to let them know about Jesus Christ. There's another word, dunamis. We get the word dynamite from that. We got some Christians like that. They're like dynamite. They blow up and disappear. Glory. But we need energy, church. We take pills to get energy. We take shots to get energy. But we need energy. I don't know why it is that I'm the way I am, but I'm wide open all day long. I go to bed sometimes, I can't go to sleep because I can't shut down. I lay there and flop around, finally I'll just get up, give up the ghost, and go sit in the living room or go back to my room or do something. The next morning I get up, I'm wide open. It doesn't matter if I didn't sleep an hour or 2 hours, I'm back, daylight's up, it's time to go. Hello? So I said, I ain't built that way. It just depends on the power source you get hooked into. Come on, church. Nod your head. Amen. Somebody said, you just take in too much caffeine. I don't drink that unleaded coffee y'all drink. That's what you're talking about. Glory. I don't see no sense in drinking colored water with no flavor in it. Glory. Hello? Come on, church, that's good stuff. Hey, man, you say, preacher, what are you talking about? We need some authority to move in the church. We need something to set us up right and move us. Did you hear what that guy said? Where is the cloven tongues of fire that fell in the upper room? We ought to ask that question of our church. Where is that fire that was in their body? What did Jeremiah say? So it's like a fire shut up in my bones. I can't hold it back and I can't be still while it's there. Can I tell you, if you get that kind of fire, you ain't got to be asked to move. You ain't got to be asked to do. You're going to do something for the power of God. Could you say amen?
Right.
Listen, I had a friend that retired out of Methodist Church. He's Pentecostal. And we used to go down to the place there in Tuscaloosa where we worked out. And one of our other preachers was with me one day, and he come in. He said, man, we had church yesterday. And you know how church got folks are. They think they're the only ones can have church. And this preacher leaned over. He said, he just knew what church was. Now, undoubtedly, he heard what he said, because he turned around and he says, yeah, I said, man, said, we had a lady playing for the offertory. Those are what that is, just playing when I took up money. That's one of the Methodist words. Said she'd been seeking the Holy Ghost, and said, right in the middle of that song, God hit her. Said she lost it right there on the piano bench. He said, good thing we had a woman playing the organ, or they'd have stopped taking up money. Said that lady went to shout, and she come off that piano bench, went to carrying on and falling around, stumbling and shouting. And by that time, she fell out in the spirit. And he said, next thing I know, the aisles are full of people walking and praising God. He said, we had 3 people saved, 5 filled with the Holy Ghost. Had 2 people got healed. That pastor looked over me and said, my God, they had church. Glory. A few weeks after that, we were sitting there and we got in a discussion about the Holy Ghost. The Church of God pastor looked up and he said, you believe that speaking in tongues is the evidence of the Spirit of God filling somebody? He said, no. Church of God priest said, well, that proves it right there. He said, proves what? He said, y'all don't know what the real stuff is. He said, you didn't say that right. You didn't say, was it a proof? He said, I believe people get the Holy Ghost, they'll speak in tongues. He said, but you know how I know folks that got the Holy Ghost in my church? He said, they start looking for something to do instead of sitting around causing problems. And he said, when they get full of the Holy Ghost, they want to work. They want to do something because they got a functioning power in them to do something for God. Come on, church. Some of y'all just shut up on me that time. But I'm sorry. But I think we need to understand, when somebody gets the Holy Ghost, they ain't going to shout on Sunday and die on Monday. It'll be just as much anointing every day of the week. That's where we got it wrong. We think it's Sunday morning special service or Sunday night outlining or maybe on a Wednesday night while we're praying. But on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, we need to get a fire of God burning in our soul and move in the presence of God every day that we live. And when you do that, you're going to know what it is to have a peace that passes all understanding of joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. And the power of God and a faith that will move a mountain. Woo. Stand with me all over the house. They asked John, said, are you the Messiah? He said, oh no, not only am I not him, but I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. But there's one coming after me who's not just going to baptize you with water, but there's going to be some fire involved when he gets a hold of you. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, do you really believe that? What else would make men change their entire lifestyle? Men that have fished all their life suddenly find themselves standing on street corners. I want to tell you about this guy, Jesus. Knowing they could very easily get killed. James gets his head cut off. They lock Peter up in prison. He gets out of jail. What does he do the next morning? Stand on a street corner. Hey, I'm that guy that would go cut his head off for you. I want to tell you about Jesus Christ, whom you crucified. Hallelujah. Why? Because there was something inside of them that said, I got to go. I got to do it. I got to tell the world. Church, can I tell you? We've got to get that kind of fire in the church again. We got to get the kind of fire that lights us up so that we glow when we pass people. They know something's different about us. Yeah, preacher, I just don't know what to say to people. You ain't never going to figure it out. But if you'll just love them, be honest, the Spirit of God will touch them with whatever you say. The gentleman in Mobile was a member of the Gold Leaf Church of God. Brother Bob got saved in the late 60s. He had a third grade education, worked down the shipyard. He went to classes on witnessing. Brother Curtis Silcox was teaching the classes. Curtis said, no matter how hard I tried, I could not get that man to get down the ABCs of witnessing. Simple. A, ask you shall receive, seek you shall find, knock you shall be opened unto you. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. C, confess your sins. He's a just God, able to forgive your sins and can cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If you remember them three scriptures, you can tell anybody about Jesus. He said, we worked on that thing for several weeks, and finally we went out to do hands-on experience, walking through the community. He said, I said, I'd take Bob with me. He said, because Bob just, no matter how hard he tried, couldn't get it down. He said, you look at him, Bob, what's that? He said, the first one. Curtis told me that story one time, and I was down there preaching at Gold Leaf, and I walked up to Bob. I said, hey, Bob, what's the first one? He said, shut up, preacher. You know Curtis Silcox, and y'all talking. Bob has personally won over 200 people to the Lord. And he to this day probably, if he's still alive, I don't know if he's alive right now or not, but if he was, he still wouldn't be able to tell you A, B, or C, probably because he ain't worried about it. All he's worried about is winning souls. He's walking with Curtis down the street, and Curtis said, we're going down through there. And said, I'm talking to him. He said, I was trying to get his attention away from the fact there's a guy over there polishing his truck. Said he's standing out there and got on a pair of jogging shorts. And he's a big old husky fellow with no shirt on. Cigar hanging out his mouth. Said he's got a six-pack of beer with ice on it in front of that truck, and he's working on it. And he said, I'm thinking, you know, that dude's probably a pretty rough project for Bob on his first trip. And he said, I'm walking by thinking, hey, we'll take him down the road, find him somebody else. And he said, I get to the corner and suddenly realize I'm talking to myself. And he said, I turned around, and there's Bob. All 5'6" of him with his finger in that 6'5", 300-pound fella. He said, I go running back down there thinking, oh, God, he's fixing to get killed. He said, I get there just in time for Bob to say, dude, I can't remember A, and I can't remember B, and I ain't got a clue what C is, but you're going to die and bust hell wide open if you don't give your heart to Jesus. Glory. You know, I met that guy, too. He was a member of the Gold Leaf Church of God. Because Curtis said, right there, he looked at him, he started crying. He said, you know, you're right. I need Jesus. He said he threw that cigar out of his mouth and knelt down the front of that church. His truck said, Bob led him to the Lord right there. He said, to my amazement, the man prayed through. I remember one night I was preaching revival at the Gold Leaf Church. Somebody went crazy, went to running and shouting. Come running down the front and listen. This guy's 6'7", weighed 300 pounds. He turned a flip in front of the church. He come up on his feet, and he stood there and looked at the pastor, and he says, I'll bet I try it again. Lord. I went by him. I said, hey, what happened, Brother Ivy? He said, I don't know, dude. Something got in me, and I was burning. And so I got up here and flipped. Said, when I landed, I went cold. He said, I thought I better leave that alone. Glory. I want to tell you something, church. I'm not expecting none of y'all to run up here and turn a flip, but we need some fire. We need something to get in us to shut up in our bones where we feel something moving in us so that when we sit down, we feel a little vibration and we understand there's more to this than just singing Mama's greatest song or something like that. There's an anointing of God that can touch me in the midnight hour and put a song in my heart where there's nothing there before. There is a fire that can wake me up in the night with a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. There's a power of God that can carry me through every day of my life if I can get the Holy Spirit and fire. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. Holy Ghost of God, pour out your spirit in this house. Touch us with your anointing. God, in Jesus' name we pray. Have your way.